Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Tiny Esther observed a couple of days till the Yom Tov of Purim, so you're going to be very happy. We are not talking about Mem today, but I just want to add one interesting nekuda from last week's Shir. Last week we had a fascinating Shir about remember Mem and Samech, the floating miraculous letters in the Luchos. And we tied the Samech into Queen Esther Hadassah. We tied the Mem into everything else about Purim. And my son told me of war from the Sefer Mimeged Givos Olam that the Lamas, when it talks about Yisachar, Vayhi Lamas Oved, he bends his shoulder to bear, he carries the mass. When a person feels like Torah is a burden, it's really the Torah that's carrying him. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. Do you remember? Okay, so this is pretty cool. Jackie Nussbaum listened to the Shir on YU Torah, and she reached out to me, and I'm going to quote her text. I just listened to your Shir about Mordechai and Esther and Mem and Samech. Beautiful, thank you. You mentioned Mas from Birkas Yaakov that represents Torah. It is interesting that at the end of the Megillah, it mentions that the king, that's right, as soon as she said it, imposed a mas. It's in Perek Yud of the Megillah, which is always a curious detail to include. Purim is supposed to be almost a second accepting of the Torah. Is there a connection? Question mark, question mark. Also, the kingdom of Achashverosh is referred to as Paras Umadai several times until the very end when it's called Madai Uparas. And the first and last letters, Madai and Paras, now spell Mas. Just a curiosity. So, the Megillah tells us in Perek Yod, which is the final Perek, it's a pretty short book of Ketuvim. It's 10 prakim long. And in the final Perek, Perek Yod Pasuk Aleph, Vayosam HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al HaAretz, the EA Hayam. Now, obviously, I didn't think of this, or I would have mentioned it last week, because it ties in exactly to our learning. And the king Achashverosh placed a mass upon the land and upon the islands of the sea, the islands. What's interesting about this is that there is a ksiv and a kri. Okay? If anyone is interested, by the way, we're not really focusing on the psukim from the Megillah, a little bit. But it's in the back, I'm quoting, it's just from the back of the Chumashim that they have here. They have Megillas Esther, it's on page 1261. So, Vayosam HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al HaAretz, except that there's a ksiv and a kri. Very often in the Megillah, it happens throughout Tanakh, but it happens quite often in the Megillah. You have the ksiv, the way the word is written, and then the kri, the Mesorah of how we read it. So if you look in this pasuk that says, Vayasim HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al HaAretz V'Iyei Hayam, Achashverosh is read as Achashverosh, but the ksiv, the way it's written, is Aleph Ches Shin Reish Shin, without any vavs. Okay, if you look in the pasuk, you will see that on Perek Yod, pasuk Aleph of the Megillah, and the king Achashverosh placed a mas upon the earth and upon the lands and the islands. Achashverosh, the ksiv, the way it's actually written, is Aleph Ches Shin Reish Shin. So I was thinking to myself, we read it as Achashverosh, that's the Mesorah, but that's not actually what's written. So it's very interesting that that word could be divided into two Hebrew words, Ach and Shoresh. It's Ach and Shoresh. So we could say that at the time of the Megillah, when the Jews reaccepted the Torah upon themselves, how do we know they reaccepted the Torah upon themselves? Because the Gemara tells us explicitly in Masechta Shabbos Pechas, Shabbos 88a, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleim v'alzaram. That's not the Gemara. That's the Megillah. The Pasuk says at the time of the miracle, Kimu v'kiblu aleim v'alzaram. The Jews accepted and took Torah upon themselves and their children. Remember, we spoke about the 18,500 who went to the party a couple of weeks ago. So at the time of the miracle, they reaccepted Torah upon themselves. And the Gemara says in Shabbos Peches Aleph, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. They reaccepted what they had already accepted. It was a reacceptance of Torah. So they accepted Torah by Matan Torah, by Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the time of Purim, they reaccepted the Torah upon themselves once again. So the fact that it says, Vayosam HaMelech, that can be a reference to who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Medrash Esther Rabbah tells us, I believe it's Parsha Gimel Siman Yod. Madrash Esther Rabbah 3:10, Parsha Gimel Siman Yod, tells us that when it says Hamelech HaChashverosh, it's referring to HaChashverosh. When it says only Hamelech, it could be referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's read this pasuk according to the Ksiv, not the Kri, not the way we have a Masorah of reading it, but how it's actually written in the Ketuvim. Vayasam Hamelech, the king, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ach Shoresh Mas Ala Oretz, when each Jew feels like a brother to another Jew, and we go back to our roots and back to our heritage, Mas Ala Oretz, once again the Torah will be spread throughout the earth. Vayasim HaMelech, it's the king, meaning the Melech Machim Lachim, HaKosh Baruch Hu, who once again allowed his face to be seen, it was a time of Hester Panim, who saved the Jews. What happened then? Ach Shoresh, when each man sees his fellow Jew as his brother. Shoresh, we go back to our roots, and our roots are Torah. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, when we accept the Torah upon ourselves, go back to our roots. That is Bein Adam L'Makom. Ach, see each other as a brother, Bein Adam L'Chaveru, Mas Al-Aretz, and the Mas of Torah. The miraculous nature of Torah will be spread throughout the whole earth, the Iyayam, and over the island. So the entire kingdom was inundated with the beauty and the miracle of Torah because of the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each man sees himself as a brother, each Jew goes back to his roots, and then Torah is spread upon the whole earth. So I thank Jackie Nussbaum very much for pointing out that Mas appears at the end of the Megillah, which leads to this beautiful idea, which ties in so nicely, and we can darsh the pasuk so beautifully. Okay, that's what I wanted to tell you. Oh, what she was pointing out is that here, in this context, and she's right, it's very interesting. Finally, here at the end of the Megillah, listen to the next pasuk. We just darshan pasuk Aleph according to our idea. V'chol maseh tokvo gvurasu parshas gedulas Mordechai sher gido amalach halohim ksuvim al sefer divrei yamim l'malchei madai uparas. And here again you have an allusion to the mem and the samach. It's here in the context of mas that all of a sudden it's called madai uparas. Madai of course begins with a mem and paras ends with a samach. Once again an allusion to both Mordechai and Esther hi Hadassah, or Hadassah hi Esther. And the mass upon the earth. Finally, ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah Lamecha Chashverosh, the Gadol HaYehudim Ratzui, the Rav Echav Dorish Tov, the Amar V'Dover Shamar, Shalom L'chol Zaro. So I thought that was fantastic. I will tell you, I found in a sefer, and I researched Jackie Nussbaum and I sent it to her, the Gemara in Maseches Megillah addresses this, so her question was actually very good, what she noticed. The Gemara, I think it's a Megillah Yud Beis, I sent her. I was learning through the Sefer, learning part of the Sefer by Rabbi Yehuda Landi on Megillas Esther. And in there, he quotes the Gemara who asked this very question. I think it's Megillah Yud Beis. The Gemara says, why is it always called Paras U'Madai? And at the end, it's called Madai and Paras. Okay, so we darshaned it a totally different way. And I thought that that was very beautiful. And it really sums up the Mas Maisa, which is not Mem Samech, of the Megillah and Torah and our re-acceptance and the miraculous nature of Torah carries those who carried it. Mordechai, Hadassah, he Esther so beautifully. That is not the topic of today's shiur. However, that's a PS or an addendum to last week's shiur. The topic of today's shiur is Parsha Zachar. And I was deciding what to speak about, what we should learn together. I thought, given the situation that our nation has found itself in since the horrific massacre and mass pogrom of October 7th, and the ongoing situation since then, and since this Shabbos we read Parsha Zachar, before we celebrate the victory over those led by Haman Amalek, who wanted to destroy us, Haman is Mizar Amalek, we read Parsha Zachar. I will begin with the following from this past Sunday, the 7th of Adar, March 17th, 2024. Dear Mizrahi family, it is with immense pain and deep sadness, I'm quoting. That I share with you that the Perez family were informed this evening that their son, Captain Daniel Perez, 22 years old, has been declared a fallen soldier, captured by a terror organization. A funeral is being planned for tomorrow, meaning Monday, this past Monday. to be followed by Shiva. Over the past 163 days, we have desperately davened for better news. Throughout that time, the Perez family has inspired us and strengthened us, and we have sought to strengthen them. The global tefillot for his well-being will now become global wishes for comfort. This news came to the family on 7 Adar, the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose burial place is unknown. And as such, this date is associated with mourning for all those whose burial places are unknown. As we have prayed and hoped for Daniel's safe return until now, we continue to pray and hope for his return to Kever Yisrael. May Hashem comfort Rabbi Doron, Shelley, and the entire family amongst the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. May we see every single hostage return home, Rabbi Danny Mervis, acting CEO of World Mizrahi. When we were discussing this Sunday evening, so I said to my boys, to two of my boys, you know, his name's in my sitter, Daniel Shimon Ben Sharon. I daven for him every day for his return. I said, in fact, I davened for him that Sunday in Mincha before I saw the news. So my eldest son said, we still need to daven for him. So I said, what do you mean? So he said, we need to now daven that his body should be returned. So he should be zochet to Kavur Yisraelis. We know the lengths that Avram Avinu went to ensure Kavod Hamis, that his wife, the Tzadeka Sarah, would be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that she would have a proper kavura. The Rav speaks about that he wants b'miktza sadeu ekvaris meisi. They say wherever you want, in the middle of our land. And he says, no, the edge of the plot. A Jew is holy in life, and a Jewish body is holy in death. And a Jewish body should be zochat to kvur Yisraelis and kavura meisi. It's a schus for the body. So we still need to daven. We need to daven that he should be zochat v'shavu banim l'gvulam. V'shavu me'eretz oyev, that he should have the schus, he fell as a holy kadosh and gibor Yisrael, defending Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael. And his body should be zoch, and his family should be zoch, to have the nechama and the schus of kvur Yisraelis be'eretz Yisrael. So we do not stop davening. I did see a 30-second clip. I don't know if anybody saw his father's hesped. His father said, Dam, Dalet Mem, Dam. Dam, Zeh Masha Kavarnu. Kavarnu et Hadam. They had a Levaya in her Herzog. Blood, blood. This is what we buried. We buried blood. Blood from the side of the tank, blood from inside the tank. This is what we had, and this is what we buried. On Sunday 7 Adar, March 17, 2024, the same day, Shlomo Manzur turned 86 years old while in captivity in the Gaza Strip. He is the oldest hostage being held in captivity by Hamas in Gaza. And on Sunday, he turned 86 years old. He was born in Baghdad. As a child, Shlomo survived the Farhud, the famous, infamous, I should say, an horrific pogrom, a massacre of the Jews in 1941, the Farhud, very famous, that led to the mass emigration of Iraqi Jews. As a child, he survived that. He lived in Kisufim, Israel, for most of his life, and it is from there that he was kidnapped at the age of 85 on October the 7th, and on Sunday, he turned 86. On Monday, the IDF on Monday, this past Monday, 8 Adar, March 18, 2024, the IDF on Monday announced the death of a soldier killed in battle near the Shifa Hospital. There's been a lot of activity and fighting at the Shifa Hospital this week. Hundreds of terrorists hiding there, Yimach Shemam. He was identified as Staff Sergeant Matan Vinogradov, Hashem Yikom Demo, 20 years old, from Jerusalem. He served in the Nachal Brigade's 932nd Battalion. The IDF had raided Shifa Hospital overnight Sunday after intelligence information showed that Hamas terrorists returned to the hospital and were using it as a terror base. with the fall of Matan Vinogradov Hashem Yikom Damo. The IDF death toll in the Grand War is 250, and the IDF death toll since October 7th is 593, although the next day, if you saw, another soldier fell, so that means the IDF death toll is now 594, a 51-year-old, did you see? 51 reservists who made Aliyah from Argentina. And in January on Facebook, he posted, "We have no other home. There is no option. We must win." He fell on Tuesday. There are two places in the Chumash where we learn about the battle with Amalek. One, when it actually happens in Sefer Shemos chapter 17, Parshas Beshalach. And one time in Devarim, it's not when it actually happens. It's 40 years later when Moshe Rabbeinu commands the people to remember. What we read on Shabbos before Purim is Moshe's words from the end of Devarim, not the end of Devarim, the end of his life in Devarim, Parshas Kisetze. These two sugyos in Torah obviously go together because one is when it happens and one is when Moshe reminds the people, remember what happened. It's in Beshalach, Sefer Shemos, just a few weeks after leaving Egypt. And it's in Devarim, Kisese, we're going to read it on Shabbos, Parak Chof Hei of Devarim, Psukim Yud Zayin, through Yutas. The Psukim tell us in Parshas, so the people had just left Egypt. They haven't even gotten the Torah yet. The Torah is 7 weeks after Yitziat Mitzrayim. And Kriyas Yamsuf is 1 week after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So sometime in the 6 weeks between after Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, there's a 6 week span. And they came to the wilderness of Sinai a week before Matan Torah. So that means there's a 5 week span from the time of Kriyas Yamsuf until Rosh Chodesh Sivan, where Amalek came and attacked. Vayavo Amalek, it begins in Shemos, Parag Yud Zayin, Pasuches, chapter 17, verse 8. Vayavo Amalek, Amalek came. Vayilochem im Yisrael b'Rafidim. They fought with Israel in Rafidim. Again, this is not what we call Parsha Zachar. First, we're looking at the Psukim where the battle happens. Then we're going to look at the Psukim that we're going to read on Shabbos. Of course, why do we read this Davka before Purim? Well, Haman is Mizara Amalek. Haman ha'agagi, Mizara Amalek. Agag was the king of Amalek. Haman has very illustrious yichus. He's a direct descendant of the original Amalek. And Amalek came, and they battled with Israel in Rafidim. Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua. Moshe says to Yehoshua, Bechar lanu anashim, choose for us men, v'tzei hilochem ba'amalek. Yehoshua is the Mashares Moshe. Yehoshua is the leader, of course, who's going to take over after Moshe. And even here in these early days of nationhood, we haven't even got the Torah, we see that Yehoshua is chosen by Moshe for a leadership role. Choose for us men, v'tzei hilochem ba'amalek. You, Yehoshua, go lead the war with Amalek. Machar anochi notzev nitzav al Rosh HaGiva. Tomorrow I, Moshe, will go to the top of the peak, the top of the hill. Umater Elokim b'yadi. I will go up with the staff of God in my hand, the staff that brought the miracles. Of course, Hashem brought the miracles of the Ma'akos, but Moshe and Aaron were the shlichim. And the staff affected many of the... The staff affected is the wrong word. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Through the staff, many of the miracles of the Makos happened. Of course, it's not Moshe, it's not the staff, it's all the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it was an agent. It was an agent to wreak havoc on the Egyptians and Mitzrayim. It's also going to be it also was an agent of destruction over the Egyptians in Yam Suf. When he sticks the staff over the sea, after a whole night of wind, the sea splits, and then he puts the staff back on the sea, and the sea comes crashing down on the Egyptians. So the Mata Elohim is a agent or vehicle to help defend Klal Yisrael against her enemy. So Moshe says, tomorrow I will go up with the staff of God in my hand. Rabbi Zev Lefshita points out something beautiful. When Avram Avinu is told about the foreshadowing of exile, in the Bris Ben Absarim, in Sefer Bereishis Perek Tesvav, Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Yadoa Teda, we read these in the Haggadah. I said to my son the other day, I'm like, you know, if Purim is on Sunday, Pesach is in 4 weeks. He said, whoa. I said, I know. So we read these words in the Haggadah. Hashem tells Avram, Yadoa teida, ki ger yezorecha be'eretz lo lahem. We read it in Magid. Va'adum v'inu osam arba me'oshana. V'gam esagoy yisher yavodu don anochi. V'achrichein yitzer b'chush gadol. It's Bereshis 15. Hashem tells Avram, if you do, you know, you shall surely know. Yadoa teida. That your children will be strangers in a land. They will be oppressed. They will be afflicted. They will be tortured. But do the nation that judges them, I, the nation that afflicts them, I will judge. And after they will leave with great wealth. Rabbi Zavlev points out that the gematria of the word don, dalid nun, is the same gematria as mater. Mem, tes, hey, don is 50, yeah, 55, don. 54, thank you. Dalet Nun, yes. 4 and 50. And Mata is 49 and 5, 54. The gematria of Mata and the staff and the gematria of Don. You can remember this for your Pesach Seder because you say this Pasuk in Magid. It's a short but sweet var. Is the same because through the Mata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge those who oppress us. The Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, drowning of the Egyptians. And here, Moshe says, I will take this mata, and I will go up to the top of the peak. Vayas Yoshua kasher amar lo Moshe. Yoshua did what Moshe instructed him. Lehilachem ba'amalek, to fight with Amalek. U'Moshe Aaron v'chur alu Rosha giva. So Moshe goes up. Aaron goes with him, his brother. Chur, his nephew. Rashi says, the son of the son of Miriam and Kalev, they go up to the top of the peak, and it was when Moshe lifts his hands, Israel is winning. And when Moshe puts his hands down, Amalek is winning. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara, says, do Moshe's hands win the war? No, it's a reference to Tefillah. When Klal Yisrael raise their hands and their eyes to their Father in heaven, then they win the war. When they put their hands and their heads down and they think, they look at their own hands instead of a Kosh Baruch Hu, they think, Kochi ve'otzem yadi asali asechayel azeh, the strength and might of my hands made me this wealth. Then who was winning? Amalek was winning. And the hands of Moshe were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him. Rashi says, why was Moshe sitting on a stone? Imo anochi b'tzara, because down there the soldiers were battling. So Moshe should sit on a nice couch. He should sit on a cushion. He should sit on a chaise lounge. He's also in pain. So he sits on a stone. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands on this side and on this side. Unkus explains, his hands were outstretched in tefillah. Vayhi yadav emuna, his hands were outstretched in tefillah until the sun set. And Yoshua weakened Amalek and his nation by sword. And Hashem said to Moshe, Ksav zos zikaron b'sefer. Write this as a remembrance. The first time we see the idea of Zachor in relation to Amalek is not in Devarim. It's when the battle actually happens. Hashem tells Moshe, Ksav zos zikaron b'sefer. Write this as a remembrance in the book. V'sim ba'osne Yoshua. Place it in the ears of Yoshua. Ki mecha emcha et zecha Amalek mitachas asherayim. I, God, will surely erase the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. So two times in Bishalach, the root word for remembrance, remember, Zayin Chof Resh, is written in relation to Amalek. Ksav zos zikaron b'sefer, ki macha emcha et zecha Amalek. And Moshe built a Mizbeach. He called it Hashem's my banner. He said there is a hand against the throne of God, a war of Hashem and Amalek from generation to generation. That's the actual battle when it happens. Now, on Shabbos for Parshas Zachar, we are going to read three psukim from Devarim 25, Parshas Kisetze. It's in year 40. Moshe is finishing up his life. And one of the mitzvos that he commands us is to always remember Amalek. Here we go. These are the psukim we're going to hear on Shabbos. Zachor Sasher Salacha Malik. Remember what Amalek did to you. Asher Karcha Bederach. No, I'm sorry. Bederach would say Shem in Mitzrayim. On your way when you were leaving Egypt. Asher Karcha Bederach. They chanced upon you. Vayezane Bechol Kol Anechoshali Mecharecha. They attack the weak ones at the rear. Va'ata Oyef Viageya. You were tired and weary. V'lo yarei Elokim. Amalek, says Rashi, does not fear God. V'hayan it will be, v'aniach Hashem Elokecha l'cha mikol eivecha misaviv. V'aretz Hashem Hashem Elokecha nosei necha nachal alirishta. Timcha et zecha amalek mitachas Hashemayim lo tishkach. When God gives you rest from your enemies all around, and the land that Hashem your God is giving you as a portion to take possession of it, you shall erase the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens, you shall not forget. It's very interesting to me, because we know nothing in Chumash is an accident, because we say that all the time, that the root word, Zachor, appears four times in connection with Amalek. That is obviously not an accident. It could have been twice, it could have been once, it could have been six, it could have been ten. In Bishalach, Ksov zo zikaron besefer, kimocha emcha et zecha Amalek. And in Parsha Zachar, ki teitze, zachor es asher salacha Amalek, timcha et zecha Amalek. So we see that the root word for zechira, which is the act of remembering, is four times in the passages of Chumash that deal with Amalek. What can we propose from here? It's very obvious what we could propose from here. Rav Soloveitchik says, in the name of his holy grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadav HaKadosh Levracha, he says that Rav Chaim says, Amalek is anyone in any generation. Today we don't know who, biblically, according to genealogy, Amalek is. Hama we know is from Agag. Agag is from Amalek. Amalek was from Eliphaz. Eliphaz was from Esav. Today we can't identify any one nation or person and say, this is your lineage. This is your biology. This is your genetics. Rav Chaim Brisker says, today we understand that Amalek is anyone, this is quoted by his grandson, the Rav, in any generation who rises to destroy us. Now, obviously, today, not until Mashiach comes, no one can fulfill the mitzvah of Timchat Zecher Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. Shaul was told, Me'olel v'ad yonek, me'ish v'ad isha, even the sheep. Today, we do not do that. We cannot do that. The jurisdiction is entirely out of our hands. It will be a horrific and terrible travesty. We wait for Mashiach to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do whatever needs to be done. B'yamos HaMashiach. That's not up to us. But in terms of the enemy who comes to destroy us, this is what the Rav quotes in the name of his grandfather. So why, perhaps, is the root word for Zion Chaf Resh to remember four times in relation to Amalek in these two passages, in these biblical passages? Because we have to go through four Golios. Klal Yisrael, for the fulfillment of our national destiny, the Medrash speaks about it, Chazal speak about it so often, there's so many allusions to Arba Golios in Chumash, we have to go through Arba Golios. The four Golios are Bavel, the Babylonians who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, 586 before the Common Era. The next is Paros and Madai, Purim. They took over, Persia and Medes took over rulership after Bavel. The next one is Yavan, the Greeks who took over after Paros and Madai. That's Hanukkah. And finally, the longest and the most bitter and the most drawn out is the one we are in, which is Galus Romi. So perhaps the Torah wants to tell us, in every exile, you are obligated to remember what Amalek did to you. And it is incumbent upon us, Zachar. Now it's interesting in what we're going to read on Shabbos. It begins with Zachar and it ends with Al Tishkach. Zachar is the Shoros Alecha Amalek. And the last pasuk is Timchat Zechar Amalek Mitachat Hashemayim Lo Tishkach. You must remember in every of the Arba Golios, Bavel, Parsimadai is Haman, Yavan, and Romi, which we are in, Lo Tishkach, you shall not forget. So four times we see a reference to Zachor in conjunction with Amalek, because I think that perhaps the Chumash is telling us that in every exile you are not allowed to forget. In every exile, it is incumbent upon you to make it your mitzvah that you must remember and you must tell the next generation. Do not forget those who gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. Do not forget the holy ways that they lived and the holy way that they died. And do not forget that this is what Amalek wants to do in each of the Arba Golios. It's also very interesting that in the Megillah, when we meet Mordechai HaYehudi, we meet him in Parak Beis. Chapter 2 of the Megillah. So we are taught in the beginning of Parak Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Achar Dvarim Ha'ela, Kiso Chamas HaMelech HaChashveirosh, after these things, the party, Vashti's disobedience, Vashti's killing, that she was killed, the wrath of the king subsided. Zachar, funny, as Vashti ve'es asher na'asasa ve'es asher nigzala. After everything calmed down, he's not drunk anymore. Everybody went back home. He sits down to dinner and he says, where's my queen? They say, your queen, don't you remember? He says, do I remember? Of course he didn't remember. It's brought down the Sefer Bereishis by Yehuda Landi, actually, that he was furious with his advisors. I didn't bring the Sefer with me, but I just read it early this week. The Midrash says that he was furious with his advisors once he was sober and he understood what happened and understood what they advised him. He was furious at his advisors for killing Vashti. He thought that her refusal to come was reasonable and therefore he was very angry. He remembers Vashti and what happened and what was decreed upon her. So the servants of the king have a great idea. We should appoint overseers in every province of the king. Let's gather every na'ara, besula tova smara, teshusha nabira, and the na'ara that finds favor in the eyes of the king will be the new queen, and the king likes this idea. Ish Yehudi, the next pasuk tells us, Ish Yehudi haya b'shusha nabira. There was a Jewish man in the capital city of Shushan. His name is Mordechai ben Ya'ir ben Shimi ben Kish. He was from the tribe of Binyamin. Listen to the next pasuk, 2:6, Perek Beis, pasuk Vav in the Megillah. Asher Hagla mi Yerushalayim, im Hagol. This is one of the tunes of the pasuk of the Megillah that is read in the tune of Echa. This pasuk is one of the tune of one of the verses that we read in the tune of Echa. Asher Hagla mi Yerushalayim, he was exiled from Jerusalem. Im Hagol Asher Haglasa, im Yechanya Melech Yehuda, Asher Hagla Nevuchanetzar Melech Bavel. I noticed that the word for Golos in this pasuk seems to be very redundant. If you are paying attention, well, it should be, you should know where I'm going because I already spoke about Zachar 4 times. How many times does the root word Gimel Lamed Galut appear in this pasuk? 4. Good guess. Correct. It's not a guess, it's an educated assumption. Asher Hagla mi Yerushalayim, im Hagola Asher Haglasa, im Yechanyan Melech Yehuda, Asher Hagla Nevuchanetzar Melech Bavel. It would be a lot easier and a lot less wordy and save us ink to just say Mordechai was exiled with Yechanya, the king of Yehuda, by the king of Bavel Nevuchanetzar. You need Hagla how many times? Once, in the beginning, we're talking about the Galus Bavel Nebuchadnezzar took them into exile. But no, 4 times. Asher Hagla, he was exiled from Jerusalem. Im Hagola, with the exile. Asher Hagla saw, that was exiled with Yechanya, the king of Yehuda. Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. That exiled, who brought into exile Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel. So we said that the first set of 4 in regard to Amalek, Zachor 4 times, teaches us that in every exile, we need to remember what Amalek rises to do and what they have done, and the Kedoshim and Tohorim, Shemashu, Nafshem, Akidosh Hashem, Lo Tishkach, in each exile. This is not something of antiquated past. Amalek is something that follows us through the Arba Golios. Now we come to this pasuk from the Megillah, and the pasuk tells us, 4 times, it's very wordy and very redundant, about the Golos that Mordechai was exiled. Perhaps here we could say that the root for Golos, which appears 4 times, is connected to Arba Golios, equated to, equal to, represented, foreshadowing of the 4 exiles. Why? Because Mordechai represents the quintessential Jew who must sojourn through the 4 exiles, yet clings to Yahadus with tenacity and courage. Mordechai represents the Jew in every exile, who the enemy tries mightily to destroy, and yet he was the Jew who clung with tenacity and courage and pride, and with a heroic spirit. He did not give up on Yahadus, or Kaisha, or Kosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. He is the quintessential Jew in every one of the 4 exiles, that clings to his religion proudly, despite the enemy of the 4 exiles who rises to destroy us. There's a capital of Tehillim that I'm now going to relate to this. Zachor 4 times in regard to Amalek. Golos 4 times in the pasuk that introduces us to Mordechai. In every exile, we must remember Amalek, lo tishkach. Mordechai represents the quintessential, the essence of a Jew who clings to Yahadus, despite the enemies of every Golus who tried to destroy us. I thank Sarah Sklar for pointing this out to me. The Rabbeinu Bechaya speaks about chapter 13 of Tehillim. So as soon as she said that to me, I said, oh, Kapitel Yergim of Tehillim is about Hester Panim. She said, yes, so Hester Panim. I forget who she said she learned this from. I think a Rabbi Cohn, she said, in her seminary. I'm not sure. But it's the Rabbeinu Bechaya who says this. Okay? Listen to the Kapitel 13. It's short, and it's about Hester Panim. Now, we know Hester Panim is the story of Purim. How do we know? Because the Gemara tells us very clearly in Chulin 139b that the story of Megillat Esther is the story of God's face is hidden. Esther mina Torah minayim, we spoke about that here. Anochi Esther, Esther panayim mikem bayamahu. Megillat Esther and the story of Purim is the story of when God's face is hidden in exile. Listen to this kapitel. Lamnetzeach mizmor leDavid. For the conductor, a song to David. It's only 6 verses long. Ad ana Hashem tishkencheni netzach. Until when, Hashem, will you forget me forever? Ad ana tastir aspanecha mimeni. Until when will you continue to hide your face from me? Ad ana ashis etzos benafshi. How long must I make schemes within myself? Yagon bilivavi yomam. My heart is sad, groaning. There is pain in my heart by day. Ad ana yarum ivi alai. Until when will my enemies exult over me? Habita, look, Hashem. Aneini, Hashem Elokai, pay attention to us. Answer me, Hashem, my God. Ha'ira einai, pen ishan hamaves. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest the enemy say, I have overcome him. Pen yomar oivi yachaltif. Do you want the enemy, Hashem, to say, I have overcome the Jew? Tsaraya gilu ki amot. Lest my tormentors rejoice when I fall. V'ani b'chastecha batachti. But as for me, God, in your kindness I trust. Yagel libi b'yeshua secha. My heart will exult in your salvation. Ashira la Hashem. I sing to Hashem ki gamal alai. Because he has done so much goodness for me. Ad ana, until when, appears 4 times in this kapitel. This is the Rabbeinu Bechaya that I'm quoting. She sent me a picture of her notes. It's reference. I don't know where the Rabbeinu Bechaya was, so I couldn't look it up, but I think she said it's a Rabbi Cohn who taught them this. Ad ana Hashem tishkecheni netzach. I'm in chapter 13 of Tehillim. Until when, Hashem, will you forget me forever? Ad ana tastiras panecha mimeni. Until when, Hashem, will you hide your face from me? Ad ana, until when, Hashem, will I have to make schemes within myself? My heart is melancholy by day. Ad ana, until when will my enemy exult over me? 4 times Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Ad ana appears in this kapitel. This kapitel is the story of the Jew in exile, and each of the Ad ana corresponds to one of the Galios. So the first is Ad ana Hashem tishkecheni netzach, Galus Bavel, destruction of the first temple. Until when, Hashem, when the temple is destroyed, the exile sat on the rivers of Babylon. Imeshkachach Yerushalayim, chapter 137 of Tehillim. Tishkach yemini, tidbak lashoni dechikim, lo askerechi. Ad ana Hashem, they said, by the rivers of Babylon, until when, God, will you forget us forever? How could the Babylonians have the upper hand? How could it be that the temple lays in ruins? How could it be that we are in exile? What has happened to our holy places? Until when, Hashem, will you forget me forever? The next Ad ana is clearly a reference to the Hester Panim of Paras Umadai. Ad ana tastir aspanecha mimeni. Now, since we already quoted the Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Tas Amud Beis, that the story of Esther's time of Hester Panim, this next Ad ana corresponds to the next Golus. The next Golus is Paras Umadai. Paras Umadai is our time of Hester Panim. That's what the pasuk says. Ad ana tastir aspanecha mimeni. The psalmist says, Hashem, until when will there be Hester Panim? Until when will you hide your face? When will we see you again? When will we be close to you again? The first is Galus Babel. The second is Paros and Madai. The third is Yavon. Until when will I have to make schemes within my own self? Until when? Not until when again. No. Yagon, there is sighing, bilavavi, in my heart by day. And finally, until when, Hashem, will the enemy triumph over me? It's a good question. Until when, Hashem, will the enemy triumph over me? So we see that for Parsha Zachar goes with Amalek four times. For the four exiles, do not forget. Do not forget what they want to do to you. Do not look away from history. Do not forget the Kedoshim and every exile who gave their lives. Four times in Mordechai, when we meet him, the root word for exile, because Mordechai is representative of the Jew in all of the Arba Golios, who clings to Yahadus with triumph and tenacity and pride, even though they rise up to destroy us. And Arana in the Kapitel that deals with exile, four times, because in each exile we say, Hashem Arana. Until when? Until when is this exile going to continue? Until when will the enemy triumph over us? Until when will parents be forced to bury dam? Kavarnu et hadam. Zema shekavarnu. Ad ana yarum ayvai alai. Until when will the enemy have the upper hand? Until when will this long and bitter galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu end? Every morning, the website Ynet News is very good for some of the personal stories. Because we are in such challenging, painful, difficult times, it's hard to find personal stories, Rahmana Litzlan, of the situation, because there's just so much to report. The website Ynet News is very, sometimes I find there are personal stories that we do not find, that I can't find on the other sites. Every morning, Yaakov Lubinevsky visits his wife's grave at the military cemetery in Kadima Zoran. No, I'm starting again. Every morning, 99-year-old Yaakov Lubinevsky, a Holocaust survivor, visits his wife's grave and the cemetery in Kadima Zoran. In recent months, he regularly continues from his wife's grave every morning to the military section of the cemetery. To the two graves of two soldiers who were killed in the Hamas attack. Yaakov Lubinevsky says, I tell the family members there is a point in getting up in the morning. I tell them there's a point in life. Every morning at this cemetery in Kadima Zoran in central Israel, as you go down the stairs on the right side, it is impossible not to notice the elderly gentleman. Yaakov Lubinevsky moves slowly using his scooter along with his caregiver, Anna. He comes here every day to visit the grave of his late wife, Mazal. In recent months, he has also been visiting the graves of the late Staff Sergeant Yaron Shai and Staff Sergeant Ofek Russo. 2 years ago, he says, I lost my wife, Mazal. She was 93. I come here, he's 99, he survived the Shoah. I come here every day, I tell my wife what's going on in our family, what's going on in the country. I sit with her as long as necessary. I water the flowers until my aide, Anna, tells me we have to move on, he says. Yaakov is a veteran resident of Kadima Zoran. He is small in stature, he is still lucid. For years, he worked as a forest ranger. In recent months, he also moved between the graves of the two IDF soldiers killed at the beginning of the war. In the beginning, there was the grave of Yaron. This is Yaakov's words. I'm quoting verbatim from the article, which I copied and pasted into my notes. In the beginning, it was just the grave of Yaron. He served in the Nahal Reconnaissance Unit. He was killed on the first day of the war. He fell defending Keren Shalom. He is the son of former governor minister Yitzhar Shai, an amazing person in my eyes. The day after Yaron was killed, another war hero, Ofek Russo, fell in Kibbutz Be'eri. He was buried next to Yaron. Both of these soldiers were 21 years old. They were at the beginning of their careers. They were young men who went to war and never returned, says Yaakov Lubanevsky. Yaakov then describes his daily routine. The first thing I do every morning after I visit my wife's grave is I come here to the military section. I water the pots next to the two graves of these heroes. I arrange the pictures if they fell in the wind overnight. I arrange the stones on the kfarim so everything is as is. By the way, in the original article, there's beautiful pictures. There's pictures of him. There's pictures of him between the graves of the soldiers. There's pictures of the soldiers' graves. If one of the beer bottles on your run grave falls over, I, of course, make sure to put it back in place. Some of you are looking surprised. When we were on Har Herzl in January, family and friends of the fallen come to the kfarim, and they put personal mementos, they put pictures, flowers, stones. We saw in one grave two cigarettes. They put things to remember. This was 21-year-old boys who fell defending the land, and on one of the graves is two beer bottles, and Yaakov says, his friend, some must have put it there. If the beer bottles fall, I fix it. He's 99 years old. Every day, and he survived the Shoah. He's not. What am I doing to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachor? I have to ask myself, what am I doing to perpetuate the memory and the legacy of those who have fallen, lo tishkach? What am I doing to be a proud Jew sojourning through exile like Mordechai? What am I doing to dive into HaKadosh Baruch to say, Ad Ona, until when will this continue? He's 99 years old, and every morning, after he visits his wife's grave, and he tells her what's happening in the country and in the family, he doesn't say, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I need to go home. He arranges the stones, the flowers, the pictures, the beer bottles, on the grave of two 21-year-olds. Boys, our children, the children of all of Am Yisrael, who fell for us. It is a terrible situation for the families, he continues. I am here all the time. I take care of them as if they were my sons. I adopted these two fallen soldiers' graves. We must be here. Help the families. The pain is great, but life must go on. I will make sure to tell everyone who Yaron and Ofek were. We, the author of this article writes, we move along the cemetery path. Yaakov says he has five children, nine grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. I try to encourage the families of the fallen, he says. I want to help them start living a little. After all, their lives have been shattered after this terrible disaster. But I tell them, there is a point in getting up in the morning. There is a point in life. You can be proud of your sons in the way you taught them to be heroes, young fighters who fell in defense of the country. I am proud to talk about these two soldiers. Look how many photos their friends have arranged here. These boys are greatly appreciated. The father of Yaron, former minister Yitzhar Shai, praised Lubanevsky in a moving tribute over the weekend on a social media post. Yitzhar Shai wrote about Yaakov. He gives us the flavor of life. His name is Yaakov. The first time we met him was the day after the funeral. We came to Yaron, his son's grave, and Yaakov was there. He was crying over the fresh grave of a soldier, a hero he never knew. And he told us, I will always be here. Every day, I found this so inspiring. It is so moving. He's doing it l'shem mitzvah, l'shem kavod ha'meis. We said we must daven, we must keep davening for Daniel Peres to come home to be zocha, to Kfor Yisraelis. And at this age and what he's been through in his life, every day he takes care of the kvarim of these two boys. Continues Yitzhar Shai. We came to Yaron, and we came to Yaron, their son, and Yaakov was there, crying over the fresh grave of a soldier he never knew. And he told us, I will be here every day. I will clean the grave. I will bring flowers. I will always do this. He deserves it, he promised us. A day later, our neighbor, Ofek Rousseau, a hero soldier who fell in Be'eri, was buried next to Yaron. Yaakov then added Ofek as his personal commitment. We meet him from time to time at the cemetery. His wife is buried in the civilian section, maybe 50 yards away from Yaron and Ofek. He visits his wife every morning. This is the social media post of Yitzhar Shai, the father of Yaron Shai, one of the fallen soldiers who Yaakov takes care of in his grave. He visits his wife every morning, and after he is with her, he makes his way to them with much difficulty, and I quote, but he doesn't give up. He makes the effort. He comes to our heroes. He cleans their gravestones. Continued the bereaved father, Rachman al-Etzlan, Yaakov is a Holocaust survivor. He lost his entire family in the inferno. He arrived in Israel alone after his entire world fell apart. And here he somehow manages to pull himself up. He married. He started a family. He lived a full life, maybe a happy one. He knows the price and the horrors that life can bring. But the very first time we met him, he told us, it hurts terribly, the most painful thing in the world. But you must know there is a reason to live. There is something for your Yaron. There is something for you. You know how the article ends, this social media post? Always remember. I didn't script that in. I could send you the link. It's there. Always remember. There is a reason to live. Part of Zachor, Sosher, Salacha, Amalek, is not just remembering what Amalek did. I should say what Amalek does. And it's not just remembering the Kedoshim who fell. We have to make it our business to try and know something about the Kedoshim that fell. It's not just a random name. It's not just an age. It's not just a number. It's a Jew. It's a hero of Israel. It's a family shattered, Rachman al-Etzlan. And we have to ask ourselves, Zachor times four, in this exile that we are currently in, the fourth one, the longest one, the most bitter, are we fulfilling the mandate of remembering like we did in the previous three? But not only to remember who Amalek is, and not only to remember what they did, and not only remember those who fell, remember, says Yaakov Lubinevsky, there is a reason to live. He himself survived the inferno. He started again after his whole family fell apart. Klal Yisrael, we must remember, is Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. As long as remembering the tragedies and the fallen and the pain, and we don't need to look so far to remember this year. We also have to remember that Klal Yisrael is a tenacity of spirit. We will never give up. And they will never vanquish us. Don't you think it's amazing that the root word Zachor is the same root word for male? Zachor. No. I get Zachar. Zachar Nekeva. Zachar. A male. And Zachor to remember. So we already know that Shoreshim are not an accident. So it can't be an accident. It is through the Zachar and Nekeva and the continuity of Knesset Yisrael, the seed that results from that union, that Klal Yisrael will always triumph and survive. It is through the seed that the Zachar leaves in the Nekeva that grows a new future, a new generation, that we will counteract what Amalek does, what Amalek is and what Amalek did. Because we will always rebuild. We will always survive. We will always give rise to new generations. It is the seed of the male that ensures our continuity and our survival and our triumph over Amalek. That's what Haman's wife says, except that I don't know the parak on the pasuk. So I don't want to take... Oh, it's in Parakeh after Haman leaves the party excited. No, not there. That's when she tells him to make the tree. And Vash... Here we go. Vayisaper Haman Lazarus Ishto Udecholo Havav Es Kolosher Karahu. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all of his beloved, his lovers, his advisors, his ministers, everything that happened. Vayomer lo chachama v'Zeresh ishto imizara ha-Yehudim Mordechai asher achilos l'impolofanav lo tuchalo ki nafal tipolofanav. And when he tells them what has happened, Zeresh, that he had to lead Mordechai through the streets in a horse and call before him and garments of the king. So his advisors and Zeresh's wife say to him, imizara ha-Yehudim Mordechai. Why doesn't it just say im Mordechai Yehudi? What is im mizara Yehudim? If he is from the seed of the Jews that you have begun to fall, you will surely fall. You understand? Why do you need the word Zara? So just say if he's a Jew. So I heard years ago Rabbi Shai Shachter say in the name of the Lubliner, Meir Shapiro of Lublin, Meir Shapiro of Lublin says, what does it mean, imizara yehudim? If the Jews are still investing in the future, in their children at this time, if they hope for the future through their zara, if they educate their children, if they continue to have children, if they are mechanich their children, you will surely fall. You will never be able to overcome a nation that invests in the future by seeing the children as the future. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Paro? Binu reinu v'zikneinu neleich. So it is the union of the Zachar and Nekeva that gives rise to the Zera Yehudim, which ensures Zachar, we will always remember, we will never forget, because we will never be vanquished. We will always be here. Four times. Asher Hagla, Imagolo, Asher Haglasa, four times. Because Mordechai is the Ish Yehudi. And even as we sojourn through exile, and they tried to destroy Yaakov Lubinetsky and that whole generation and my grandparents' entire generation. And they destroyed an unfathomable number of Kedoshim. But somehow, Klal Yisrael is still here. Al Pi Teva, it's impossible. I come from four Holocaust survivor grandparents. So that means Al Pi Teva, I should actually not be here. The greatest miracle of the Shoah is that anyone survived, that there is an Am Yisrael. Because Mordechai is the proud Jew. Rav Yonasan Eibitz says, why does it say Ish Yehudi if he was an Ish Binyamin? Ish Yehudi ayah b'shushan abir, 2-5. Ushmo Mordechai Binyamin, Shemi Mekish, Ish Yehudi. He's from the tribe of Binyamin. So why is he an Ish Yehudi? What does it mean? Rav Yonasan Eibitz says he was identifiable as a Jew. He was proud to be a Jew. He went out in the streets with his talis, with his tefillin, with his tzitzis. Everyone knew he was a Jew. That's how the Jew survives exile. Therefore, four times he uses the word galut to tell us that Mordechai is not only Mordechai the Jew who lived in that day and age. He is the prototype of every Jew in exile. You want to know the secret to survival in Galus? Look at Mordechai. That's how you'll get through Galus, Bavel, Paros, Umada, Yavin, and Romi. By being a proud Jew who is identifiable as a Jew. And finally, Ad Ana Hashem, Tishkecheni Netzach. How long will this go on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For how long will you forget us eternally? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not forget us, but Chas V'Shalom. But sometimes in exile, it seems as if Hashem forgets us. Even the great psalmist, King David, with his Ruach HaKodesh, lamented the fact that it seems like Hashem forgets us. Ad ana tastiras panecha mimeni, an allusion, of course, to Megillas Esther, Parzu Madai. Because in that exile, it seemed. Hashem's face was hidden. Hashem's face was totally hidden. But how does the capital end? Ad ana yerum oivi alai. Until when will the enemy have the upper hand over us? Did you see Canada, where my country of birth? Is not selling arms anymore to Israel. They're taking the side of Hamas. Butchers, murderers, rapists, the incarnation of the devil on earth. Satan alive. No more arms, the only democracy in the Middle East. Ad ana yarum ivi alai habita aneni Hashem Elkai. Today is Tainis Esther observed. Go home and say Kapitel Yud Gimel. Go home and say Kapitel Chaf Beis. I'm not saying al Yalsa Shachar. The Gemara tells us that Esther was the Yalsa Shachar, and she said Kapitel Chaf Beis on her way to the king. Ha'ira einai, please enlighten my eyes, pen ishan amaves, lest death overcome me, lest the enemy say I have triumphed. My enemy will exult over me. But despite everything, Hashem, v'ani b'chastecha b'tachti, I never give up on my bitachon. I always trust that ultimately you will do kindness with me. Yagel libi, my heart will exult. Oh. Yagel libi b'shuasecha. In the end of days, the gimel lamed of galus will become Yud Gimel Lamed of exalt and rejoicing, like Gila. Gila Rino Disa V'chadva. At the end of this chapter, the psalmist says, because I trust in your kindness, I know that Yeshua will come. Yageli b'Yeshua Secha. The four stages of exile, the four Ad Anas, the four Zachors, will turn into not Galus, but the Gila Rina Disa V'chadva, Ava V'achva, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yagel libi b'shua secha. When we keep the Ten Commandments, Yod of Yagel, when we keep the Aseres HaDibros, when we live a proud Jewish life, the Gimel Lamed of Galut will become the Gimel Lamed of rejoicing. And then my heart will exult in your salvation. Ashira la Hashem, Hashem, I sing to you, Ki Gamal Alai, for all the goodness. Am I usually speechless? Not so often. Gamal is Gimel Lamed, and what's in between? Amen. Ashira la Hashem, I will sing to Hashem, Ki Gamal Alai, the Gimel Lamed that was Golos, becomes the Gimel Lamed of Gila Rina, through our adherence to Mem, which is the only letter that begins with your mouth closed, open, closed, says the Rapshitzer Rabbi, Zchusha Yagayin Aleinu, my husband's 8th-grade grandfather. Close your mouth. If you have something Torahdik to say, open it, and otherwise close it. So when we speak in Torah and accept the Yod of the Aseres HaDibros, Galus will become Yagel, Yod Gal, and then I will thank you, God, Ki Gamal Alai, Gimel Lamed. In between is the Mem, it is the Torah Kadosha, it is Mordechai, Mikra, Megillah, Mishta, Matanas of Yonim. If you missed those shirim, you must go back. Mishloach Manos. That will lead us to the ultimate Ashira L'Hashem. Is Torah normal? No, I want to ask you a serious question. Does anyone think like Torah is Teva? It's not. It's actually not. I will sing to Hashem. Ki Gamal Alai. I wish us all a meaningful tainus at some call. Kosh Baruch Hu should Yimali Mishal Sibenu Letova, Amen, Amen, and a very freilich and perm. Thank you, everyone.